In focus today, for months, the United Nations has been beset by scandals that have rattled the 60-year-old institution to its very core. Now reform is high on the agenda. Secretary General Kofi Annan has already proposed changes which will be considered at a meeting of world leaders in September. VOA's Yelida De Franceschi takes a closer look at what may be ahead for the United Nations.
Kofi Annan termed 2004 Annus Horribilis, a year of horror for the United Nations. First, the Oil for Food program, intended to provide humanitarian relief for Iraqis hit by sanctions during Saddam Hussein's rule, was found riddled with fraud. Among those implicated is Mr. Annan's own son, Kojo. Next followed accusations that the UN Secretariat acted too slowly on reports that UN peacekeepers in Africa sexually abused women and girls. Then a close aide of Kofi Annan, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Ruud Lubbers, resigned amid allegations of sexual harassment. But many analysts say the biggest problem for the United Nations is its failure to adapt to new global challenges. In 1945, there were 45 member nations. Today, there are 191. At the end of the Second World War, the main security issue was conflict between states. Today, it is global terrorism. The Cold War era was dominated by two superpowers, the United States and the Soviet Union. Today, the U.S. is the world's only superpower. Andrew Bacevich, director of the Center for International Relations at Boston University, says the world body should adjust to this new power reality and heed America's position on multilateral organizations.
The basic position of the United States with respect to the UN is not likely to change. What is that position? It is that to the extent that the United Nations is useful to the United States of America as the world's sole superpower, U.S. policies will be pro-UN. To the extent that the United Nations seems to complicate the role of the United States as sole superpower, U.S. policy will be antagonistic to the U.N.
Mr. Bacevich notes that no American president is likely to forfeit the right of unilateral action to protect the United States. Supporters of multilateralism argue that the U.S.-led war in Iraq, without the U.N.'s full endorsement, opened a new chapter in international relations. They argue it violated international law, undermined the U.N. Charter, and made the world less stable. Chester Crocker is professor of strategic studies at the Georgetown University. He argues world's major powers often sideline the UN when their vital interests are at stake.
I'm not aware that when China decided to throw missiles across the Taiwan Straits back in the 90s, the Chinese asked for Security Council permission. I'm not aware that when the Soviets went into Afghanistan or into Budapest that they asked for Security Council permission, or when the French intervened umpteen times in sub-Saharan Africa in defense of what they saw to be their interests in key African partner states, they didn't ask for Security Council permission.
Professor Crocker suggests that even when states try to reach a Security Council consensus, failure does not prevent them from taking action. For example, NATO's bombing of Yugoslavia to end Serb repression in Kosovo in 1999.
The Kosovo case, that was not an American decision alone. I think there was a strong sense amongst many of the NATO allies that something had to be done, even if we knew that the Chinese and the Russians were likely to block getting an affirmative Security Council vote.
Chester Crocker says the kinds of challenges the world is now facing by terrorists are very difficult to point to as an imminent threat before the Security Council. But he argues the United Nations has long been recognized as a useful global forum where disagreements can be aired, sometimes even resolved. In the meantime, Secretary General Kofi Annan wants to enlarge the Security Council and set out rules on when the UN can authorize military force. Boston University's Andrew Bacevich says these reforms are welcome and should be supported. But he adds the UN remains only a part of the international security system, not its linchpin.
At the end of the day, I suspect that it will continue to be pretty much what it has been, meaning an organization that has never come anywhere close to fulfilling the dreams of its most enthusiastic supporters, but also an organization that has not been the evil actor It deserves to be supported, but we shouldn't have any expectations that the UN is going to bring about world peace anytime soon.
Still, critics and supporters of the UN say it must consider radical reforms to remain relevant in the face of increased threats to global security. For Focus, I'm Jela De Franceschi.